One, two, is it on? Nope. Is it? Okay. I couldn't tell if it was turned on or not. We're going to look at the book of Esther this morning. We're going to kind of just skim through Esther a little bit in different spots and different places. So that's going to be our passage this morning is in Esther. But if you would join me as we pray this morning. Most precious Heavenly Father, it is a privilege once again to be here at this church, to just lift up the word of God that you've placed on my heart. And Father, I pray that you will look upon the sinner and be merciful, because I know my sins are many, and I ask, Lord, you be gracious. Father, be with us each and every one today. May you just open our ears and hearts. May you guide us. May you be with those that are traveling in a way. And Lord, those on our prayer list, may you bless them with healing, whatever they may need. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. One of my favorite scripture passages is found in Romans. Y'all know it, Romans 8:28. It says this, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Well, within that passage, there's a great promise of God. It's one of his promises that I've known about and loved for many, many years. Basically, the promise is this, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. You know, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He will work things out. And in this promise, we find the ultimate truth, the fact that God's victory is assured. I mean, the battle was fought long, long ago, and it was assured by Jesus Christ's death upon the cross. And what we're waiting for is just the final outcome. Because when Jesus died on that cross, was buried and resurrected, he assured us we have the ultimate victory. We are the victors. And in the Old Testament, there's a story that shows how God works things out for those who love him. It's the story of Esther and Mordecai and how God worked it out. Now, in Esther, it says the king's name is Ahasuerus. Okay? Ahasuerus. Well, the king is also known by the name of Xerxes. And it's a lot easier for me to say Xerxes than Ahasuerus. So I'm going to use that name of the king. And it is, by a lot of modern commentators and biblical commentators, that's the name they do. Because he was the king back during the 5th century B.C. He had a nobleman by the name of Haman. And Haman was not a good man. And he came up with an evil plot against the Jewish people. You see, the Jewish people, they lived among the Persians there. They lived there, they thrived there, they did business there. But one of those Jewish people, a man named Mordecai, made a nobleman, Haman, who was a nobleman, very mad, very upset. And why did he do that? Because Mordecai refused to bow down and pay homage to this nobleman of King Xerxes. Well, one day the king threw a great party. I mean, it lasted 7 days without ceasing. There was wine and women and song and all kinds of festivals and celebrations going on. And what it was for is so the king wanted to show off. He wanted to show off his beautiful palace, show off his power and how big and strong he was. And he also wanted to show off his queen. Well, he called for the queen to come to the party so he could parade her around and show off her beauty and just proclaim how wonderful his bride was. Well, Queen Vesta, refused to be paraded around. She wouldn't do it. She stood up for her rights, made the king mad. So the king issued a decree stripping her of all rights as the queen and literally banished her out of the city. Well, when that happened, I call it the Persian version of the bachelor party or the bachelor show, the reality show on TV, because the king went out and he got all the beautiful women to come to the palace and they paraded by him and he sat there and watched and looked. And finally, he chose that single woman that he wanted to be his next queen. That was the woman by the name of Esther. And Esther was a woman of great, great beauty. She was known throughout the land. But one of the things that didn't make known when at that time that she became the king is Esther didn't let her nationality become known. You see, Esther was the adopted daughter of Mordecai. Mordecai had raised her. But she didn't tell anybody that she was of Jewish nationality when she became the queen. Well, one day, Mordecai, while he was sitting out at the city gates, he heard about a plot to kill the king. Well, he went to Esther and told Esther what was going on and had her go tell the king about this plot to kill him and to make certain that Mordecai was known as the one who told the king. Well, the king investigated it, and sure enough, he found out that two of these guys were in a plot to kill him. Instead, he had both of them killed. And it says in there in the Bible that the incident was recorded in the daily log kept by the king's servants. Now, Mordecai's actions were written down and put into record then. So, now let's go back to Haman and his evil plot, okay? Haman found favor with the king. And when he did, he asked the king to make a decree. And there's one thing you need to understand about those decrees in that day. Once the Persian king made a decree, it became the law of the land and could not be broken. It became a permanent law. There was no way to amend it. There was no way to change it. There was no way to stop it. Once that king took his signet ring and punched it into the wax and sealed that decree, it couldn't be changed. And that's what Haman wanted him to do. Haman went to the king and said, "Hey, for one day, I want you to declare that the Persians can kill any Jewish person they want and keep everyone of their possessions." Look with me at Esther chapter 3, verse 9. Esther 3, verse 9. "If it is pleasing to the king," this is Mordecai, "let it be declared that they be destroyed, the Jewish people, and I will pay you 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry on the king's business to put into the king's treasury." Now, 10,000 talents of silver sounds like a lot, and it really is. And if you looked at how much that was in today's world, that's 350 tons of silver. That's a lot of silver. That's a lot of money. So, of course, the king was pleased by that decree and what Haman was going to do, so he made it a permanent promise. You know? Well, fortunately for the Jewish people in that day, the day of assassination was actually set up for 11 months and 13 days in the future. Wasn't going to happen right away. Well, when that happened, Mordecai, he hears about that decree. And so he sends word again to Queen Esther that he about the decree and what's going to happen. So, to condense my story a little bit, because I'm going to use the whole book of Esther, and it's 10 chapters, 9 chapters long. Anyway, what the queen gains the king's favor, and she asks for him and Haman to come to a special banquet. And when they do, she says she'll tell the king her request that he has granted to her, because he's already telling her, as we're going to see in our scripture, he'll give her up to half of his kingdom. Look at verse 5, chapter 5. Starting in verse 3. "Then the king said to her, 'What is troubling you, Queen Esther, and what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be given to you.' And Esther said, 'If it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to a banquet that I have prepared for them.' And then the king said, 'Bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther desires.' So the king and Haman came to the banquet table which Esther had prepared. As they drank their wine at the banquet, the king said to Esther, 'What is your petition? For it shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be done.' So Esther replied, My petition and request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and do what I request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king says." You see, it was all working out. God's in the middle of all this, and you'll see how that plays out. So the day of the banquet comes along. The king and Esther are there, and they're drinking some wine. The king sends his servants to go out and get Haman. And the time comes for the queen's request. And over in chapter 7 in verses 1 through 6, we see Esther's request. Now the king and Haman came to drink wine with Esther the queen. And the king said to Esther on the second day, as they were drank their wine at the banquet, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be done." Then Queen Esther replied, "If I have found favor in the sight, O king, and if I please the king, let my life be given to me as my petition, and my people as my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. And now if we have only been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not be commensurate with the annoyance to the king." Then King Azarias asked Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he? Who would presume to do this?" And verse 6, Esther said, "A foe and the enemy and his is this wicked Haman." And then Haman became terrified before the king and the queen. Now, remember, Haman was the one who came up with the plot, but Haman also hated Mordecai more than anything. And Haman had already gone out and built these 50-foot gallows in front of his house because he was planning on getting the king to hang Mordecai. Well, it didn't work out in Haman's favor because the king became so mad at what he was going to do. He had Haman taken out and hung on that very gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And the king, he then turned around and made Mordecai a nobleman to rule in Haman's place. So the queen then turns to the king and asks him to issue a decree that on the day of assassination, that the Jewish people may defend themselves, that they may stand up and protect themselves and have their right to defend themselves against the Persians. Remember, that law could not be done away with. It was permanent. So the queen came up with a way that the Jewish people could defend themselves against the attacks of the Persians. Well, that day come, 11 months and 13 days in the future came along. The Jewish people prevailed. They didn't take any plunder. They just simply over-defeated the Persians and had the right to live and protect themselves. Today, the Jewish people still celebrate that tragedy. They actually celebrated it in February, this last February, and it is called the Feast of the Purim. The Feast of the Purim. It's still celebrated to this day. And why is it celebrated to this day? Because it is a way that the people understood that God works everything out for his good. What Haman had meant for evil and bad, God took Esther and Mordecai and turned it to be good, because the Jewish people continued to thrive and continued to go. And this is how our story ends in Esther. It says, Mordecai the Jew became the prime minister with authority next to that of King Xerxes himself. He was very great among the Jews, who held him in high esteem because he continued to work for the good of his people. Now, remember that promise that we started all this off with. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. You see, he took that bad situation with Haman and his plot to kill all the people, to trick the king into killing the Jewish people. And he turned it instead into a way that Esther became the queen and Mordecai was lifted up as the nobleman and Haman was defeated and the Jewish people got to defend themselves. So God worked everything out for the good in his way. And no matter what season of life you find yourself in, no matter what you're going through, we have hope. We have hope. And that hope is because God has promised to work it out to the good of those who love him. And when you love the Lord God, he's taking care of everything. It may not work out in the way you or I want it to. I know there's been a lot of times in my life I'd rather God done it some other way. But that wasn't the way he worked it out. But he works out everything for his good to those who love him. And that's a promise that you can always hang on to. It's a promise that God will not take away because of Christ Jesus and his death and his burial and resurrection. That promise is guaranteed to us. That's our hope. That's the future we all have as believers in Christ Jesus. Now, most of the adults here would agree with me that coffee tastes really good, right? Y'all like coffee? I do. I really like good coffee. But you know what? In order for a really good cup of coffee to happen, I don't think, in my opinion, you don't dump it out of the can or canister, but you grind beans fresh. And you get your filter all in your coffee pot, and you put those fresh ground, wonderful smelling coffee beans in, and you get your temperature to the right thing, and that coffee brews through, and then you get to sit down with that wonderful brewed cup of coffee, and I like a little half and half in mine as well. And that cup of coffee, it tastes so good. But you know what? It all had to work together for it to be a good cup of coffee. I don't know about you, but I've had some coffee bean candy, chocolate-covered coffee beans. Yuck. They're bitter. They're nasty. And coffee itself, by itself, can be bitter and very nasty. But when everything works together, and when that coffee is brewed just right, that is a delight every morning to start our day. That caffeine jolt that I need, I don't know about you, but I like my two cups of coffee in the morning to get going. And you know what? We'll never fully understand how God intends to work all this out in our lives, how he intends to bring the second coming of Christ and to establish his kingdom here on earth. We'll never fully understand how God is going to work everything out to good to those who love him. But we can hang our hat on that promise because God has declared it. And we have proof that he will do it through the story of Esther. And what the Bible teaches us this today, that God's going to continue to work and work things out until the very end, until the results are just right. Because he's made the promise that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, this morning, as we come to the close of our service, we're going to have a little time of invitation. And if you've never come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to offer you an opportunity to do that. But maybe there's something that you'd like for me to pray with you about, or one of the deacons. We'd be glad to do that, too. This is a time to give God the glory and give God the honor. So as we go into our invitation time, I ask that you be the ones who let God's work in your life. Whatever he touches you with, you allow him an opportunity to work, okay? Let's pray together. Most gracious God, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you today, to be able to declare to the people the promises of God, to show you that promise that he's made, that he'll never take away. It'll always be there, and God will never remove it. And we as his people can understand he'll work it out for good in his way, in his time, and we just need to continue to love him. And it's in Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen.